On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field too when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase and Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase and Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees? Check. Loaner cars and free car washes? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman, Kia of Alexandria. Let's ride together.
A very special Monday morning edition of Redskins Talk the Podcast. I am JP Finley. I am here with Rich Tandler. Tandler, I guess this is a victory Monday, man. I didn't expect to be here, but here we are.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, we both did predict a Redskins win beforehand. So,
that's,
you know,
true.
It wasn't that much of a shock. I mean, the Ravens had, you know, they were 3-1, but they were an unimpressive 3-1, I think. But then they were at home. They do tend to have a pretty good home field advantage there. So, you know, it's not a shock, but it was just, you know, a rather pleasing outcome that they kind of scratched and clawed and found a way to get it done on the day when the offense was supposed to be the strength of this team, really wasn't humming all that well.
Yeah, and you know, I shouldn't say I'm surprised to be here. I, like you said, I expected the Skins to win yesterday. I thought their offense was the best of the four units between the Skins' offense and defense and the Ravens' offense and defense. I thought the Redskins' offense was the best grouping out there. I guess I'm a little more kind of surprised at the way things have gone, the three-game winning streak. In a vacuum, I picked the Skins to beat the Giants, I picked the Skins to beat the Browns, and I picked the Skins to beat the Ravens. But winning three games in the NFL is really tough. And if you think about you and I leaving the stadium that Sunday after the Cowboys game, it seemed like we were headed for a really long year in Ashburn. And now, three games later, three-game win streak, it's an entirely different situation.
Yeah, you know, it's just, it's how the NFL works. I mean, they get a Cravens interception in the last couple of minutes in New York. They get the fumble call against the Browns. You know, they get the guy fumbling the ball out of the end zone.
What a break, man. That's an unbelievable break.
Handing the ball to the Redskins. It wouldn't have been any different. Just gone up and handed the ball. Only it would have had to run back to the 20 and then hand it to them there.
I mean, they gained yards on the play. They gained yards on an interception, which is pretty rare. All right, let's break down the Ravens game a little bit more. What do you think they did well yesterday defensively? Because, I mean, that game was won on the strength of the defense in the second half. And as much as fans were yelling about Joe Barry, maybe even last week, frankly, I was getting some crazy tweets about Joe Barry. I'm sure you were too. 3 weeks in a row, the defense has shut the opponent down in the second half.
Yeah, I think some people have fire Joe Barry auto tweets set up for the entire season. Directed at you and me and a few other Redskins writers. They just set it up to save themselves the trouble. But yeah, 3 weeks in a row now, no touchdowns in the second half. There were no points in the second half yesterday. In fact, from the Ravens got a field goal on the very first play of the second quarter, and that was it. It was nothing. The Ravens converted their first two third downs during that opening drive when everybody was, oh no, here we go again. One of the next 13 for the rest of the game. So, you know, that was a, you know, it was a good start. But if you want to look at one thing they did well, pass pressure. They got pressure. They only got three sacks, which is, that's not only, that, game, but they hit him a lot. I believe there's a total of 8 hits officially, according to the NFL. Lots of pressures, having him, you know, when he could pressure on Flacco, he becomes, you know, he's certain, I don't think he's elite even at his best.
Oh!
Far from elite.
Oh, we're talking Flacco's elitism. I'm fired up for a Monday morning discussing if Joe Flacco's elite.
Hey, I've had my second cup of coffee.
Somewhere PFT commenter is smiling.
Yes.
As much as we should credit the Redskins defense, and they were very good, I think one really positive development was they tackled much, much better, and that's been a problem for a couple weeks. I also think Will Compton and Mason Foster played their best game of the season. And that coming together, both guys playing really well, helped them a lot. Because, especially on some of those third downs, the Skins had been getting beat over the middle, little underneath routes, little drag routes. And then those guys, whoever that is, a running back, a tight end, makes somebody miss, picks up a first down. Yesterday, you saw sure tackling. Mason Foster was everywhere yesterday. I mean, he was sniffing out screens like Donald Trump at the podium, man. He was all over the place.
He was covering some passes outside the numbers. I mean, he was literally from sideline to sideline.
But I hate to be the guy. I'm going to throw the butt in there. The Ravens' offense was terrible too. Like, you can't celebrate that much because I have no idea why they got away from the run game. Terrence West was killing the Skins, and they just stopped running the ball.
Yeah, well, they had 74 yards rushing in the first quarter, 44 the rest of the game. And yes, I didn't do the math on the attempts, but I believe they did stop running the ball a lot. But, you know, I think the Cowboys benefited a few weeks ago, because the Redskins didn't run the ball.
Right.
This stuff all kind of tends to even out. You get some head scratching game plans, and you know you've got guys who work, you know, 60 hours a week trying to figure this stuff out. So maybe there was a reason behind it, but you know that's what happened. But just to the missed tackles real quick, according to Pro Football Focus, they were averaging 10 missed tackles a game. Going into yesterday, they had 6 yesterday, so that is quite an improvement. And I think on a lot of the 6, they had somebody else in the neighborhood nearby that did make the tackle.
Taylor, what are you talking about 60 hours a week? I feel like I'm pulling like 90 hours a week. Who's only working 60 in the season?
That's just on the running game plan by the offensive coaches.
Well, I'll confess that I do not spend 60 hours a week on the running game plan. So you're right there. Well, and to your point about stuff kind of evening out, you know, a lot was made against the Giants and the Browns in those wins that, hey, you know, maybe the defense didn't play that well. They just got some really timely turnovers. But against the Ravens, that wasn't the case. I guess the Mosley one was a very timely turnover, but that wasn't the defense getting shredded and grabbing a turnover. But to your point of everything evening out, if you think about earlier in the year, the Skins were forcing fumbles and not getting them. So you can argue that it's evening out just among what the Redskins defense is doing. I mean, think about week one against the Steelers. Ryan Kerrigan has the sack, has the strip, looks like maybe he's going in for a touchdown, and then ends up not even getting the ball. So, you know, to your point, there is just kind of that ebb and flow of big plays in the NFL, and when you're winning games, you tend to make more of them. For me, that's almost the most impressive part of yesterday's game, is that, and Gruden talked about it afterwards, that, you know, this team is built to win close games. That hasn't been the case for a long time in Washington. And, you know, a 3-game win streak early in the year like this is almost unheard of. I know they reeled off a ton of wins late in 2012 with RG3 quarterback, but to do it early, I mean, this is really setting them up for a different type of season than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, they haven't had a 3-game winning streak in September, October since 2008. That was the first.
Was that Jim Zorn?
the early weeks of the Jim Zorn administration.
Was that like the hip hip hooray days? Wasn't that what he was doing post game?
Yeah. And you know what? Just to transition from that, also during the first year of Jim Zorn administration was the last time the Redskins had returned a punt for a touchdown.
Ah.
And Tana Moss against the Lions in October of 2008. That was the last time, 108 games in between punt returns for touchdown until yesterday. And of course, that was with the offense struggling yesterday. In addition to the defense, special teams came up huge yesterday. And
And that's a couple weeks in a row for them.
Yeah. Well, it was against the, they did well. It was against the Giants where Crowder had a 50-yard return that didn't go for a touchdown and end up with a field goal. So this time he said, the heck with this, I got to take it all the way if we're going to get a touchdown off of this.
And how about Will Blackman had a big return, too? I mean, Crowder's a young speedster. Will Blackman's a veteran in this league that still was able to bust a 50-yard kickoff return yesterday.
Yeah, people in training camp, people were kind of snickering at him. What are you doing out there fielding kickoffs, fielding punts? Well, in a pinch, he can get a few yards. So
well,
it did not make anything out of that, but still, it put some field position and helped in that way.
Well, and it's been interesting. I mean, you and I have talked about it. Now that Josh Doctson doesn't appear to be playing anytime soon, and Rashad Ross is active, Rashad Ross had been a good returner for them last season, and we kind of expected Ross to get the kick return spot back. He hasn't, and maybe it looks like they know what they're doing after all.
Yeah, and surprise, surprise.
All those
hours in the week they spend. Looking and evaluating. It's amazing how that works out.
Well, it's also, I think, a big credit to Ben Kotwicka for deploying two returners on the punts. You don't see that very often.
No, I think they said the wind was a factor in doing that. I believe Blackman said it, or the crowd, one of the two, said, because the wind, they weren't sure where the punt was going, and they wanted to try to make sure it didn't hit and take some crazy bounce. But, that used to be when I was watching football, before the last time the Redskins won a game in Baltimore, way back then, two punt returns was standard. And it just seems to me, because you can have one guy, the guy that doesn't field the punt can is in good position to get a block. So I don't understand why they don't do that, even when it's not windy.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going after it, if you got your punt rush called, I would get why you don't do it. But it worked out for him yesterday. I actually talked to Ben Kotwicka for a minute after the game as he was walking out, and he told me it wasn't just that the wind was so bad, but that the Ravens punter is so good at directional kicks that they thought that was a way to kind of eliminate that you can't go coffin corner if you've got a guy on both sides of the field, which I thought it was a pretty heads-up play. Let me ask you this, Taylor. We were talking about this yesterday with our friend John Keim. Would Gunsmoke come on after the football games or before back then when everybody had two punters?
I think it was actually on Monday nights when they didn't have a football game on.
All right. What do we need to be discouraged about? I, for one, seeing Josh Norman leave yesterday, at best, that guy's going to be playing through pain for a while. His hand was pretty swollen. I'm guessing you saw him in the locker room. That is an issue because he's been their best defensive player. I think he gives them not just his ability on the field, but there is that confidence of, we have Josh over there. We can focus over here. Safeties can look elsewhere. And I think he's a big part of the ball hawking takeaway mentality of that defense.
Yeah, I think he'll be playing in pain, but I think just about everybody is at this point, at least if your team hasn't had a bye. Just about everybody is. But what the danger is, like yesterday, it was bothering him some coming in, but then he made that tackle, guy landed just about full weight on that hand.
Yeah, he crushed him.
Yeah, and crushed it. So, you know, how many more of those ones can he stand? I think they might have to do something to brace it up a little bit. And, that will make it obviously more difficult to intercept the pass. But, you know, as long as he's there to bat him down, I guess that's, that's as good as, or to use the, like he did yesterday on that non-touchdown catch at the end, use the sideline as the 12th man.
Yep.
Make heady plays like that, know where you are in the field. As long as you can bat, it'll be okay. But yeah, another fall on it, if it's unprotected, could end up being something to sideline them.
Can I plug something I wrote for later today? Am I allowed to do that on our podcast?
Sure.
I talked with Norman as he was leaving last night and had him just talk me through step by step that touchdown and then non-touchdown to Breshad Perryman. And the best line he had, and you know how Josh, he's always good for a really good line or two.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I got a kick out of it. He said, I saw Perryman come down out of bounds, but they called it a touchdown. I couldn't believe it. And so when they went to the replay, the quote was, "Look, I know they don't like me up in the head office, but they can't give him that one."
Right.
Which I got a kick out of. I think that'll be the first game no fine for Norman. I can't think of anything he did, right?
Oh, they can find something. Who knows?
Oh, wasn't there something with his socks?
Some celebration on the sideline or something.
I thought I remembered something about his socks in pregame, but who knows, man? It all kind of blends together. I also want to tell our listeners that you made fun of me for how windy it was and didn't come down to the field and have to deal with that wind, and my hair looked like a poodle.
Well, we can't do much measure here. That's just the way it is.
What's your first question for Jay Gruden today?
I haven't thought that far ahead. I just asked maybe about Kirk. He's just still not quite there. He's still kind of grinding. I don't know, what he's dealing with, but he's not. He's still more like early 2015 Kirk and not late 2015 Kirk, which is what I think most of us expected. So,
yeah.
Is there concern about him? Is he pressing? Things along those lines.
Well, and what I found pretty interesting is I know the third and ones yesterday, you saw maybe all pass plays, but certainly the majority were pass plays on those third and shorts. Fans will get upset about that, but a lot of those plays were there, and Kirk was just missing balls. I mean, not just the deep ball to Deshaun, but there was one little rollout to Reed that was there.
That was early in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he just missed some throws, and they I would say at least three or four of them were overthrows, which leads you to believe he's either rushing or he's not planting his foot or something and just relying on his arm strength. And one thing that's good about Kirk is he's always very honest. So, we'll get to talk to him later in the week, and I'm sure he'll have a assessment of what went right and wrong. What's interesting that I find is that the expectations for this team have changed so much that a three-game winning streak last year was unheard of until late in the season, And now it's still they're not really playing that well, but they've won three in a row, and now they're 3-2 and right back in the division contest, and it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, this team still isn't good enough to assign style points to. They still need to. I think the fans should be more happy with just winning, just win, baby, as Al Davis used to say, than they'll worry about how they might look doing so and how they might dominate or not dominate.
Yeah, I don't know if any fans are happy outside of like New England. I don't. Maybe like Kentucky basketball fans are happy. I don't know, but
yeah.
Maybe that's part of fanhood. I don't know. All right, Tandler, I will see you at Ashburn at 3:00 for Jay Gruden's presser. And what a couple weeks, man. Who would have thought? Three in a row.
Yeah, Yeah, they are. And the big chance against the Eagles coming up. I got an article coming up about what they can accomplish against the Eagles on Sunday.
Two plugs in one episode. I think we did pretty good. Yeah. I think our bosses should be happy. All right. Thanks, Taylor. This has been Redskins Talk. Stay tuned. Bye-bye.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chantilly Toyota. Let's ride together.